Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. We are on the very top of Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. We are starting at the two dots Amar Mar here in the 19th parak of Masechta Shabbos. So the first two dapim of the Masechta, which started back on daf Kuf Lamed, dealt with the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that not only is Mila going to be Docha Shabbos, but on top of that, Machshirei Mila is going to be Docha Shabbos as well. So if a person does not have a knife going into Shabbos and has a Mila to do on Shabbos, according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, so one can not only do the Mila, one not only is obligated to do the Mila, but on top of that, one also can actually make the knife as well. Chop down a tree, make the wood in order to make the fire, in order to prepare the knife. So you can make a knife on Shabbos as well. This is Shita's Rabbi Eliezer. And so on Kuf Lamed, Kuf Lamed Alf, the first two blot of our Perek, so we dealt with the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. This idea of Machshirei is not limited to Mila. It applies to other mitzvahs as well, according to Rabbi Eliezer. The mitzvahs of Lulav and Sukkah and Matzah and Shofar and Shtei Halechem. So the mitzvah of machshirin, this idea that the machshirin are going to be also doche Shabbos, is true as well. Where are the limits of Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara also taught that as well. That's the mitzvahs of tzitzis and mezuzah. Where there, Rabbi Eliezer says the machshirin are not going to be doche Shabbos. Okay, that sheet is Rabbi Eliezer, which we dealt with the first two blot yesterday on Kuf Lamed Beis. So we dealt with the fact that the mila is doche Shabbos. That's the davar ha-muskam. Everyone agrees that if the Mila Bizmana on the eighth day comes down on a Shabbos, the baby was born on the previous Shabbos, so then the Mila is going to override the Shabbos. Under those circumstances, everyone's in agreement, both Rabbi Elez and Rabbi Kiva. How do I know that? So that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, the Amud Aleph of yesterday, went through four different Makaros amongst the Amarayim in terms of what is the source that is going to be Docha. The Gemara's conclusion is it comes from the word Bayom, Ubiyom Hashmini Yimol Basar Laso. So the word Bayom Afilu B'Shabbos, that was the drush of Rabbi Yochanan. That's the one that the Gemara favored of all the drushes that we saw in yesterday's daf. And then in the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, we went through the idea that Mila is not only going to be overriding Shabbos, but Mila is also going to be overriding Tzaras as well. If a baby, 8 days of age, has a Tzaras on the Makom Mila, so now excising the Tzaras would be an Isser in the Torah, Hishamer B'Nega Tzaras, which we discussed extensively yesterday. And on top of that, the mitzvah of Mila obviously is a mitzvah sasei. So it's a positive commandment of Mila going to be overriding the lo sasei v'shamer b'negat tzaras. And this got us onto the topic yesterday of an essay docha lo sasei, a positive commandment overriding a negative prohibition. And so that has been our discussion up until this point in time. And now we're going to continue on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We're at the top of the Amud. Amar Mar. Shabbos Chamur Docha Tzaras Lo Kol Shekein. Amar Mar Basar Afa Pi, sorry. Afa Pi Sheisham Beheres Yimol Dibre Rev Yoshia. So going back to the brisa that we quoted at the very top of the Amud, we said over at the end of yesterday's shiur, is that if even though there is a Tzaras over there, Yimol, so Shitas Rev Yoshia, meaning Rev Yoshia's position is that we have a drasha. The drasha tells us that the mitzvah of Mila is going to be overriding the Isser of Tzaras. So Halam Likra, Davashena Miskabin, Huba Davashena Miskabin Mutter. So the Gemara now attacks this issue from a different perspective. Meaning, we were discussing it yesterday in the context of whether or not there's a Kal V'Chomer. We were discussing it yesterday in the context of whether we argue Esse Docha Lo Sase. The Gemara now is going to be addressing the same issue, but now from a different aspect, and that, of course, of Kavana. Meaning, that when a person is doing the mitzvah of Mila, so the idea that there is a makom tzaras on the makom Mila, so fine, so you're excising it. But that's not your intention. Your intention is simply to do the mitzvah of Mila. And so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that this should fall under the category of a davashena miskaven. But davashena miskaven mutter, and we know that davashena miskaven is mutter. Now, obviously, this is a point of contention amongst the Tanaim, and this is a topic that we've gone through time and again in our Masechta, but at this juncture, the Gemara now thinks that, look, we know there is an opinion that davashena miskaven is mutter, and so why not just simply avoid the entire discussion of Kal V'Chomer, of Esse Docha Lo Sase, avoid the whole discussion by just simply saying, this is not your intention. Your intention is not to cut off the tzaras. Your intention is just simply to do the milah. So I'm Rabbi Lonitzucha Ella L'Rabbi Yehuda. Damar Davashen Miskaven Aser. So Abaye says, good. So you know the drasha that we just saw of Rav Yoshia that says that from the pasuk we're going to learn out that you can cut off the milah even though there's tzaras. That drasha is L'shitas Rav Yehuda. As we've gone over time and again, the machlokas of Davar Sheinu Miskaven is a machlokas Tanaim, specifically Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion Davar Sheinu Miskaven is usher. This drasha is going, says Abaye, according to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, not the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And if that's true, so that means to say that according to Rabbi Shimon, I don't need a drasha. Which, by the way, parenthetically, the Gemara in a little bit is going to ask the question, well, if that's true, well, we do have a drasha and I don't need it, what are we going to do with that drasha? Okay, the Gemara is going to ask that question momentarily. But meanwhile, what the Gemara now is suggesting, what Abaye is telling us, is that this drasha is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is usher. By the way, not even a parenthetical note, but just a good observation over here, it certainly sounds like from the Gemara that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar Sheinu Miskaven usher, it means usher min haTorah. Why? Because if we have to have a drasha to allow it to happen, so that means to say that the default is that it's an Issur D'Oraisa, that Rabbi Yehuda Shitas Davar Sheinu Miskaven is usher mid D'Oraisa, and the Torah now is giving us a drasha to matter it. So, to the question of when Rabbi Yehuda says Davar Sheinu Miskaven is usher, it's never really clear whether he means it's an Issur D'Oraisa or an Issur D'Rabbanan. From our Gemara over here, it certainly would indicate that he means an Issur D'Oraisa. And this is not an original observation already. We're sure to make this point, but okay. Anyway, let's come back to the Gemara. Rav Amar Afilu Tamar Rabbi Shimon. So Rav says, what do you mean? This drasha is not exclusive to Rabbi Yehuda. This drasha it also incorporates Rabbi Shimon as well. Now, probably everyone, as the question was being asked, everyone had this original thought, because the Gemara is about to make the point, because the Gemara makes this point numerous times. And that is, not every Davar Sheinu Miskaven is the same. If it's a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, however, you know the result is inevitable, so this is what's called a Psik Reisha. And the Gemara says, this is a Psik Reisha. Afilu Tamar Rabbi Shimon, Mod Rabbi Shimon, Psik Reisha V'lo Yamos, because this is an example, a Psik Reisha. And we know that by cutting off the Mila, you know you're going to be excising the Tzaras. So of course this is going to be an example of a Psik Reisha. It's inevitable. And so therefore we know that Rabbi Shimon is going to agree that by a Psik Reisha, it is going to be not only Usser, and again I'll make the same observation as well, it's an Issur D'Oraisa. Again, that's the Mashmas of our Gemara. It's an Issur D'Oraisa, and therefore I need a Pasuk in order to be Matirit. The Abaye Leisle Haisvara. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Rava did not innovate this idea, let me clarify, he did innovate it, but it's not just Rava who holds like this. Abaye also holds like this. Isn't it agreed to by both Abaye and Rava that if it's a case of psik reisha, meaning even though the secondary result is not your intention, but it is inevitable, this is a case of psik reisha. And they both say, Abaye and Rava both say, that Rabbi Shimon's going to be mode. He'll agree in such a circumstance. So the Gemara's response, Basa Deshama Mirava Savra. So the Gemara says, yeah, he heard it from Rava, meaning Abaye heard it from Rava. And as Rashi describes over here, he thought it over. And then he says, you know what, you're right. If the secondary result is inevitable, so then this is an example of Psik Reisha. And you're right, even Rabbi Shimon would say that this does not fall under the category of a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, and therefore it's going to be Usser, and that's why I need the Pasuk. Okay, so, question, answer, very simple. This case now where there is Saras on the Makom Mila, I'm cutting off the Mila to do the mitzvah. The Saras is going to get cut off. Isn't it a Davar Sheinu Miskaven? The answer, to say succinctly, is it is a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, but it's also a Psik Reisha. Everyone agrees, even Rabbi Shimon, it would be Usser. Therefore, I need a Pasuk to be Matirit. Iga Damasni Lahad Abaye V'Rava Aha. Now, we're going to have basically a similar discussion. It is just going to be a little bit off the Mila conversation, but it's going to be still on the topic of cutting off Tzaras unintentionally. The Pasuk says, Yishamer B'negat Tzaras L'shmar Mo'od V'la'asos. La'asos Yata Ose Ava Ose Ata B'siv Sha'al Gabi Raglo U'vamot Sha'al Gabi Ketefo V'im Avra Avra. So the Braisa says like this. We're going to go now investigate the Pasuk regarding this prohibition of cutting off the Tzaras. The Pasuk says, He shamir. One should be careful. And again, as we explained yesterday, that's a lav. That's a formal lav. The Torah says not to cut off the tzaras vila asos. Now, with that extra word vila asos is coming to teach me what? The Braisa says it's coming to teach me that you cannot actively take it off. However, let's say you take a strap and you put it over your shoulder, and on that area of the shoulder, there happens to be tzaras, or it's on your foot, or it's on, regardless, whatever the case is. Meaning you're wearing your clothing, you're wearing, and you have a strap over there, and then it happens to fall off on its own. to which the Braisa says that's not a violation of the Torah. Im avra avra. If it falls off, it falls off. Because that's perfectly incidental. And so the Laasos is coming to tell me that the prohibition is when a person designs to take it off, actively takes it off, but in the course of the way he normally dresses or he normally wears any kinds of straps, and it comes off on its own. So to that, the Torah is teaching us that is not a violation at all. Now the Gemara says, Vahalam alikra, the Gemara says, okay, now this is a drasha getting us to that conclusion. And the Gemara now wants to know, why do I need a drasha? Davashena miskavin hu, but davashena miskavin mutter. Isn't this an example of a davashena miskavin? So the discussion now is going to basically run parallel to what we just saw previously. And that is, Amar Abai, lo nisrucha el Rav Yehuda, dama davashena miskavin asr. So originally Abai says, yeah, this drasha is only needed for the shita of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds that a davashena miskavin is asr, and the drasha is there to address shitas Rav Yehuda. The Rav Amar, filu tamer Rav Shimon, and Rav is of the opinion, no, that this can even go according to the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Umod Rabbi Shimon b'psik resha v'lo yamos. And Rabbi Shimon says, look, this is a case of psik resha. And I guess we'll have to say over here that the straps are rubbing so hard against the tzaras, you know it's going to fall off, even though it's not your intention. Okay, so it's a psik resha. The Abai leis lehai svara, and the Gemara wants to know, didn't Abai doesn't hold to this? The Abai v'rava dami tabai. Umod Rabbi Shimon b'psik resha v'lo yamos. Doesn't. Don't we have a tradition that both Abai and Rava both say that Rabbi Shimon agrees to a case of psik resha? So the Gemara says, Labasa Deshame Mirava Savra. And again, the Gemara says the same thing. Abaye originally didn't hold of it, but then as with learning with Rava and considered and contemplated this position, eventually capitulated to this position. The Abaye Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. Now, as we move along, finishing up our first sugya of the morning, so the Gemara now has gone over on two occasions. One, when one is doing the mila and there happens to be tzaras on the makom mila, and you cut it off, and the cutting off is unintentional. The second discussion is while you're putting on your backpack or whatever strap you're putting on, and you know it's going to be rubbing off the tzaras. In both of those cases, we have a drasha to teach me that it would be okay. In the first, the drasha is you're doing the mitzvah of mila. In the second drasha, the Torah's prohibition is only lasos. And this is not lasos. You're not doing this actively. Either way, we have drushas in both of those circumstances. In both times, Abaye said, these drushas are only necessary for Rav Yehuda. Now, eventually, Abaye turned on his position, and he says, no, it's even for Rabbi Shimon because this is a case of psik resha. But at the stage where Abaye said, these drushas are only for Rav Yehuda, so the Gemara wants to know, Abaye libid Rabbi Shimon, hai basar my avidle. So according to Abaye, within the Shita Rabbi Shimon, what are we going to do with the word basar? Meaning at his first contemplation, when he thought that the drasha was limited to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, so how is now Rabbi Shimon, what is Rabbi Shimon going to do with the drasha? It's not necessary. Rabbi Shimon holds the davashen miskaven is mutter. So he needs to do something with the drasha. It's interesting, by the way, that the Gemara over here is only asking on the first drasha of basar. The Gemara is not asking on the second drasha of lasos. Okay, but the Gemara wants to know, what would he do with it? Amrav Amram be'omer lakutz baratohu miskaven. So Rav Amram says that let's give an ukimta. And the ukimta would be like this. Let's say that the person, now we're describing somebody who's an adult who's doing his own mila. Okay, certainly an unpleasant thought, but it's a mitzvah, a painful mitzvah as it would be, but he's doing his own mila. And what the Gemara is contemplating is that this person has now tzaras on the makom mila, and this person now is articulating and he's saying that what he is now planning on doing is not only doing the mila, but he's fully aware of the fact that this also will cut off the tzaras from him. And so he is now stating clearly that he is looking to violate the isser of Hishamer b'negat tzaras. And the Gemara says, under those circumstances, now for Rabbi Shimon, where it's no longer davashena miskaven, what do you do? To which the Gemara now says, that's why he needs the drasha. The drasha is there to describe that scenario. So the Gemara says, okay, as unusual as a scenario as it is, and I'll also add, by the way, just almost like as a side note, generally speaking, the Torah doesn't give drushas for somebody who is intent on violating an isser. So, admittedly, it's a strange scenario. But the Gemara says Tenach Gadol. But even as strange as the scenario is, it only addresses an adult. Katan Ma'ikal Ameimar. But the traditional bris is done to a baby of 8 days of age. And now, what is the drasha coming to teach us regarding the baby? So, and we have, and as we pointed out in yesterday's daf, the word basar is both by an adult and it's also by an 8-day-old as well. So, Amar of Misharshe, but Omer Avi Aben Lakot Beharis de Benohu Kamiskavin. So the Gemara says, okay, even with the 8-day-old, but in other words, we know the mitzvah of the bris is on the father. And the Gemara in Kedushin discusses this extensively. The mitzvah is on the father, and so when the father now is instructing, either doing the bris himself or instructing the mo'el, let's say right now he's doing the bris himself, so he says now, look, I'm planning on doing two things. Right now I'm planning on doing the milah, and there also happens to be tzaras on the makom milah, and I plan on cutting that as well. Okay, so, and that could be now, under those circumstances, for Rabbi Shimon, the drasha now is, okay, you'll still do the milah. V'ika acher le'aver acher. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. So we have a scenario in which the father is intent on doing both, the milah and the cutting off of the tzaras. So the Gemara says, you know what? Rather than have a drasha specific to this discussion, so the Gemara says, wouldn't it just be easier to sidestep the whole issue and just simply have somebody else do the milah? And the Gemara says, now how does somebody else doing the milah going to help? When you have a situation where there's a clash between a positive commandment and a negative prohibition, here the positive commandment is the mitzvah smila, the negative prohibition is the iser of hishamer b'neged tzaras, so imata yochol akayim shnei mutav, v'im lav yavo ase v'yitchelo sase. Now, if you can circumnavigate and on one hand fulfill the mitzvah and on the other, and at the same time not violate the iser, that's the best. Otherwise, what you should do is the essay should override the los assay. But before we get to the essay docha los assay, what we should try to do is circumnavigate. See if you can efshar l'kayim shneim, if you can do both. If somebody else were to come along and do the milah, so now problem avoided. Now how is the problem avoided? Because the other person was only really interested in doing the milah. Yes, it's true the other person is going to be cutting off the tzaras, but to him, it doesn't mean anything. It is, for him, strictly a davar she'eino miskaven. It's not his son, and it just simply does not have any value to him. And yes, it does really get onto the discussion. It touches on the issue of a davar she'eino miskaven, the lo ichpat le, the lo nicha le. It does touch on that issue. But for our purposes right now, it's just simply a good example of, look, for the other person, he's not violating the issur, so have somebody else do it. So the Gemara's response is very simple, delek acher. The Gemara says, okay, but we're talking about a situation where there's no other person available, it's just the father. So again, in this circumstance where the father is going to do the milah on his 8-day-old, and there is also tzaras on that makom, and the father says, I want both. I want to do the milah, and I want to call it tzaras. So under those circumstances now, for Abaye, the drasha is telling us that you should do the milah. The essay is going to be overriding the los essay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first sugya of our daf for today. So again, as a quick recap, question on the table. In yesterday's discussion where the mitzvah of milah is overriding the tzaras, so yesterday we attacked it from the issue of which has more value, the mitzvah of milah or the mitzvah of tzaras. Do we make a kavachomer? Do we not make a kavachomer? That was yesterday's discussion. There was another discussion that we had regarding, is this an example, is this a perfect illustration of esei docha lo sasei? That was also a discussion yesterday, in debate yesterday. And then a third aspect to that, which we discussed right now, and that is the issue of a davar she'eino miskaven. When the father is doing the milah on his son and there's tzaras over there, the tzaras is incidental. It is not his intention. His primary intention is to do the milah, and the cutting off the tzaras is only secondary. It's only a secondary consequence, and this is a case of a davar she'eino miskaven, and shouldn't it be mutter, at least according to the shita of Rabbi Shimon? And to today's discussion, the answer is very simple. This is an example of psik resha, and therefore it is not fall under the category of a davar she'eino miskaven. Or to say it better, it does fall under the category of davar she'eino miskaven, but with the caveat of psik resha, and everyone agrees, both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda, that a davar she'eino miskaven psik resha is going to be an isser. And I'll add, possibly, an isser daraisa. That's certainly the mashmas of our sugya over here. Continuing in the Gemara, we're halfway down in Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Mar Yom Tov Ein Adoch Ela Bizmana Bavad. If it's a Mila Shalom Bizmana, so the Mila Shalom Bizmana, if for whatever reason the Mila gets postponed after the 8th day, so now it's not going to be overriding Yom Tov. And the usage of the word Yom Tov over here is just to highlight, certainly it's not going to override Shabbos, that's a given. It's not even going to override Yom Tov, meaning Yom Tov, there is a little more flexibility regarding Yom Tov. That's true. But it's not going to be overriding Yom Tov because it is not There's no heter. The heter is only for emilu bezmana. So menahan emilu, the Gemara wants to know, okay, but where's the source for this? And so the Gemara is going to give four possible sources of this halacha that emilu shel bezmana is not going to be overriding yontav. Amar chizkiah v'chein. Tana de bechiska amakarlo sasir mi menu ad boker shein tamalo mar ad boker. Ma tamalo mar ad boker ba kasav li tein lo boker shein lis reifa so. A drusha that we've already seen numerous times. We've seen it here in Masechta Shabbos. We saw it in Pesachim. And the idea is that after you are left over with nosar, the Torah says you have to burn the nosar. Leftovers of a karban. So you shouldn't be leaving over nosar. Lo sasir mi menu ad boker. Don't leave over any nosar. And the Torah says, but if you do, you're going to be burning it. Now, the way the Torah phrases it, you're going to be burning it in the morning. So it says the morning two times, ad boker, and it says, lo sasimri menu ad boker, and then the Torah goes on to repeat the word boker again. So why is the Torah repeat the word boker? Because when's the right time to burn the nosar? So I'll tell you when the wrong time to burn it is. And that's going to be the morning of the 15th. Why is the morning of the 15th of Nisan going to be the wrong time to burn it? Because it's yontav, and you're not allowed to burn nosar on yontav. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to postpone it to the next morning, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed, right? In Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, only one day Yontif. So we're talking about the next morning, the morning of the 16th. That's not Yontif, that's Chol HaMoed. And you have to wait till then in order to burn it. What do you see over here? Rashi says, I'm reading the end of the Rashi, Divrei HaMashal She'ein Tam Lomar, Alma Midi Dechol Lo Avdinan B'Yomtov. That if it's something mundane, you do not do it on Yontif. Hu Pesach Karban Yadal B'Nisan Hu Shu Chol. And doing a mila shelo bezmana is similar, says Rashi. Language is really interesting. It's similar, says Rashi, because it is like a davar chol. It is like a mundane activity. Now, contextually, right? We have to put this in context. We're doing the mitzvah of mila. But by virtue of the fact that it's a mila shelo bezmana, it's not the proper time. So it is not now no longer relevant for yontif. And therefore, it is going to have to be postponed. That is drasha number one. Back to the Gemara now. We have three more drushas to cover. Abai Amar Amar Kra Ola Shabbos B'Shabbatot Lo Olas Kol B'Shabbos V'Lo Olas Kol B'Yom Tov. One is going to be offering any Shabbos carbon on Shabbos. However, anything that was left over from Friday cannot be burned on Shabbos, nor can it be burned on Yom Tov. And it's a similar idea, meaning it's a davar chol, and therefore it cannot be burnt on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And Shemila Shelo Bezmana, again, we're going to use that same idea. It is something which is mundane vis-a-vis this Shabbos or vis-a-vis this Yom Tov, and therefore it has to be postponed till after Shabbos or after Yom Tov. A third drasha. Rav Amar Amar Krahu Levado Yaseh Lachem Hu V'lo Machshirin Levado V'lo Mila Shelo Bezmana De'Asya Mekav HaChomer. So Rav says that we have a drasha that on Yom Tov Hu Levado Ye'aseh Lachem. So you can do yontav preparation, but only the actual yontav preparation, not the machshirin. Meaning from the word hu, we're darshaning, hu velo machshirav. You can't do any of the preparatory acts of preparation going into yontav. And on top of that, livado, only it, that's another miut, velo milo shelo bezmana. And what is that coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude milo shelo bezmana. You could have made an argument that milo shelo bezmana is going to be overriding Yontif. Rashi here goes through the Kav HaChomer. It basically goes back to what we said earlier, meaning look at our totem pole that we described in yesterday's daf. You have Tzaras, you have Avoda, you have Shabbos, you have Mila going over Tzaras. So you could have made a Kav HaChomer argument like we did yesterday to say that the mitzvah of Mila should be overriding both Shabbos and Yontif. Nevertheless, the Drasha tells us it's not going to override it. That is going to be now our third drasha and our fourth drasha. Rav Ashi Amar, Shabbaton, Asehu, Vahavale Yom Tov, Aseh, Velos Aseh. Ven Aseh Doche, Eslos Aseh, Vaseh. An idea that we already discussed yesterday, but now we're saying it in the context of Yom Tov, and that is that not only is Yom Tov going to be a Los Aseh, it's also going to be an Aseh as well. The Mila Shelo Bezmana is just a Mitzvah Aseh, and so therefore the Mitzvah Aseh is not going to be overriding the Yom Tov, which is both an Aseh and a lo saseh. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, next sugya for this morning. And that is the following. We are going to be finishing up from the very first Mishnah of our Perek. And that is, who does Allah follow like? You've already heard me say this before, but nevertheless, right? This is the Gemara. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rav, Allah ka Rabbi Akiva. So the Allah is like Rabbi Akiva, which means to say that Machshir and Mila are not going to be Docha Shabbos. V'tana nami gabi Pesach ya gavna. Now, we're going to be having the same discussion regarding the preparation of Karban Pesach. Klal Rabbi Kiva Kol Malacha Shefshel La'asos Meir Shabbos Einu Dochet Shabbos Shchita Shefshel La'asos Meir Shabbos Dochet Shabbos. When it comes to any malacha that can be done on that can be done on before Yontif, so then any malacha regarding the Karban Pesach that can be done before Shabbos. So remember, the Karban Pesach is offered on the 14th day of Nisan. If the 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, so now you're still going to be offering the Karban Pesach, but only for those activities that have to be done specifically on that Shabbos. So, but anything that could have been done beforehand has to have done beforehand. And that is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, meaning, again, same idea. Machshirin of the Karban Pesach are not going to be overriding Shabbos, only the actual Hakravas Karban Pesach, the Shechitas Karban Pesach, only that's going to be overriding the Shabbos. And on top of that, here again, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says, Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So, what we have over here is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav paskening two times over. Once in the area of Mila, that Machshirei Mila are not Doche Shabbos, meaning we passing like Rabbi Akiva, a second time by Karban Pesach as well. Now, there is a bit of a redundancy, and the Gemara is bothered by that redundancy. So the Gemara says, yes, that's true. Because if we only had it by Mila, I would have said Mila is not going to be overriding Shabbos. And again, I don't mean Mila. I mean the Machshirei Mila are not going to be overriding Shabbos. But the Gemara says that's fine because there's no Kares by Mila. Now that's an interesting statement of the Gemara that needs clarification. I will clarify it in just a moment. Aval Pesach v'ika kares ema litchu Shabbos. But when it comes to Pesach, where there is kares, failure to bring the Karban Pesach on the Yontif of Pesach results in an Isser kares, in a Chiyuv kares. There are only two mitzvot essay, there are only two positive commandments that brings about the Chiyuv kares. One is Pesach and the other is Mila, which obviously makes a bit of an issue on the previous statement of the Gemara. Again, I'm going to come back to that in just a second. But meanwhile, just focusing on the Karban Pesach right now. So Karban Pesach is really important. So one could have made the argument that, okay, in other areas we're not going to pass, in other areas we will pass like Rabbi Akiva, but here by Karban Pesach, there's an Issur Karis, maybe we should pass like Rabbi Shmuel. That's why I need Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav to tell me that the halacha follows like Rabbi Akiva, even by Karban Pesach. Now, as to the Gemara's comment that there is no kares when it comes to the when it comes to Mila, so Rashi over here explains, you have to say this, but Rashi says it, and that is that we're talking about an 8-day-old, meaning when the 8-day-old arrives at 13 years of age without the Mila, so then yes, and then he is going to take on the liability and the responsibility of doing the Mila, and failure to do so will bring about kares. But at 8 days of age, there's no kares to talk about. And Rashi also reminds us that there's no kares for the father, meaning even though the mitzvah of Mila is on the father, for the father's failure to do the mitzvah of Mila, there's not going to be kares for the father. The kares is only for the person himself who didn't get the Mila, and only when he's a bar, when he's a bar hachi, only when he has a chiyuv, which is at 13 years of age. So the Gemara's comment that by Mila there's no kares, it means specific to that scenario there's no kares. Okay. Anyway, and now let's just go back to the Gemara and let's finish up. V'i ashmi'ina. Now, if we went in the other direction, d'gabi Pesach mishum d'lo nichrutu alav yugim abrisos, ava mila d'nichrutu alav yugim abrisos, ema litchei Shabbos. Now, here you can make the argument in the other direction. As important as Karban Pesach is, we could make an argument that mila is even more important. Because mila, as we already discussed in yesterday's daf, there are yugim abrisos. Mila has 13 covenants that are ratified between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It really is the siman of our bris, of our covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So under those circumstances, maybe we should paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. And we should allow Machshirin. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says, that's why the necessity of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav telling us, both in the case of Karban Pesach and in the case of Mila, that the halacha in fact follows like Rabbi Kiva and not like Rabbi Yishmael. Ad kan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. So far in the first half of today's daf, we covered three basic topics. One, we talked about davar she'ein miskaven when there is tzaras on the makom mila, and you're cutting off the mila, and the tzaras is coming off only incidentally. Is that a case of davar she'ein miskaven? Second discussion, mila shelo bezmana, which is not going to override yontov, and certainly not Shabbos. And finally, the fact that the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva, that machshirin are not going to be overriding the Shabbos or for that matter, a machshirin of any mitzvah is not going to override. He gave the examples, we spoke about the examples of Mila and Karban Pesach. But presumably it is a full rejection of the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. We are now continuing in the Mishnayos here in Shabbos. We're on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And now we're going to be talking about the specifics of Mila itself. And so now we transition. In this parak, we started talking about Mila in terms of its interplay with Shabbos. And now the Mishnah is going to talk a little bit more in detail about the actual mitzvah of Mila itself. We're still over here going to be discussing its interplay with Shabbos, but you can see now that we're going to be discussing the actual Mila itself. Osin kol sarchei Mila b'Shabbos. The Mishnah opens up with a general comment, which is that all sarchei Mila are done on Shabbos. This is no longer a discussion of Machshirin. We're talking about the actual Mila itself, and all aspects of it are done on Shabbos. When we say all aspects, what does the Mishnah mean by that? Stay tuned, because that's going to be the Gemara's first discussion. Moalin, uporin, umosisin. The Mishnah over here talks about three steps of doing the Mila. The Mila is the excisement of the foreskin of the baby, the Arla. The Arla comes in two membranes. There are actually one membrane on top of another membrane. When the Mishnah uses the words Moalin, it's talking about the outer membrane. When the Mishnah uses the words Porin Priya, it's talking about an inner membrane, a thin inner membrane that exists. You speak to Moalim nowadays, and what they tell you is that it has been an old minug in which the Moalim now cut both membranes at the same time. They are both going to be pulled off the baby, and they're going to be both excised at the same time. This is an old minug. I don't know how far back this minug goes in terms of doing them both at the same time, but we do them bevas achas at this point in time. The third step of the Mila is what's called mitzitza, and that is the sucking up of the blood in that area. We'll be discussing more of that in the Gemara. Venosin ala ispanus v'kamo. Now, post-Mila, so you're going to put on bandages and you're going to put on some sort of powder. Im lo shachak me'er Shabbos. Now, if the powder was not ground up before Shabbos, lo ace bishinav v'nosein. You chew the powder with your teeth and you put it in that area. Now, Tosos points out, you can find the Tosos on the Amud Beis. It's a second Tosos, or two short Tosos on the Amud Beis. Tosos points out that after the Mila, the baby is in a state of cholish yesh bo sakana. And so therefore you can violate any iser in order to treat the baby. And so the Gemara's language over here, the Mishnah's language over here, that what you're going to do is you're going to grind it up with your teeth. Why are you grinding up with your teeth? Why not simply grind it up in a usual manner? And so Tosos over here invokes the idea, the mikom makom kama de efshe l'shanune mishanina. So Tosfos over here is of the opinion that even though there is a heter gummer to treat, if there is a way to mitigate Isser on Shabbos, you must mitigate the Isser. Meaning that there is not going to be any difference whether you grind it up normally or whether you grind it up unusually. Grinding it up unusually brings the Isser down from an Isser d'oraisa to an Isser d'rabbanan. And so therefore Tosfos' opinion is that even by chola, sheyesh bo sakana, so one should try to mitigate the amount of Isser that one is doing. That is Shitas Tosfos. Not everyone is in agreement with Shitas Tosfos, but certainly our Mishnah seems to be an excellent proof to his position. Going back to the Mishnah, im lo taraf yain v'shemen me'er Shabbos yinasin zeba atzma v'zeba atzmo. If you didn't mix up the oil and wine before Shabbos, so then you have to introduce them. You have to introduce them separately. Apparently, this is part of the therapy of the bris. Vein osin la chaluk lechatchila. Now you cannot make a bandage lechatchila. It's some sort of pouch, and you would put the wounded area in this pouch. The avakorech alas martut. But what you could do is that you could wrap around some sort of shmata around the area. Imlo hiskim erev Shabbos korech alas bo. Now, if you didn't bring it before Shabbos and you want now have to carry it over, so what you should do is you should wear it on your finger. Or maybe afilu mechatzer acheres and bring it even from another chatzer. And again, this speaks to Tosos's idea of why you're carrying it in such an unusual fashion, because it brings it down now to kula achar yad. You're doing so in an unusual manner. Okay. Let's start off our Gemara, Michti. We are now on the top of Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Michti, the Gemara says, let's investigate the first line of the Mishnah. Ketan kulu kol sarchei mila lasui emai. You see, the Mishnah says that you can do all sarchei mila on Shabbos, and then the Mishnah gives us every single example of what you can do. So the opening line of the Mishnah seems to be a little bit strange, because if the Mishnah just simply said, Osin kol sarchei mila, okay, so then we'll fill in the blanks. But we don't have to fill in the blanks. The Mishnah goes through every scenario of what is to be done for the Milah on Shabbos. So when the Mishnah opens up with the words Kol Tzarchei Milah, what is the Mishnah alluding to? So Mai Lasuya, I'm sorry, Milah Lasuya, Mai Lasuya had the Tana Rabbanan. So the Gemara says it's coming to include the following, Braisa. Hamal Kol Zman Shu Osek B'Milah Chozer Bo Al Tzitzin Ma'akvin Esamila Bein Al Tzitzin She'in Ma'akvin Esamila. So when the mole is engaged in Mila, and right now, let's say it's simply like Rashi. The Bryce over here is describing that he's doing this on Shabbos. So, as long as he's still in the act of doing the Mila, so then he's going to be doing, he's going to go over all types of tzitzin. Tzitzin ma'akvin, tzitzin she'in ma'akvin. Let's define our terms over here. When doing the Mila, so what you want to do is you want to cut off enough of the Arla so that the Atara is revealed. The Atara is the Corona around the Aver, and so that you have to have a Gilui Atara. The Atara has to be totally revealed, and if you cut off the Arla, but there's still Arla overflapping the Atara, so then it's not a Mila. In other words, the mitzvah of Mila has not been accomplished. And so, what we're going to be discussing in some detail is, what if most of the Atara is revealed, but there's still some flaps that are going over? These flaps of skin are what the Braisa is describing as tzitzin. Now, in terms of tzitzin, we're going to put into one of two categories. It's either tzitzin hama'akev, meaning that there's so much overlap that the mitzvah of Mila has not yet been performed, and then tzitzin she'in ma'akvin, meaning a little bit of overage, a little bit of the skin flapping over, but not enough to negate the mitzvah. The mitzvah has been accomplished. And so, what the Braisa is telling us is that on Shabbos, while the mo'el is doing the Mila, so then he could both take off the tzitzin hama'akvin, meaning there's significant flaps, or tzitzin afil she'ina ma'akvin, meaning it's just for the purposes of appearance and touch-up. So you can take off both of those as long as you are engaged in the mila. Piresh. Now, let's say the mo'al feels like he got done. Now, exactly what he has to do in order to signify that he's done, he lifts his head up, he puts the knife down. The Braisa is not perfectly clear in terms of what exactly is the demarcation of that he's done, but for our purposes right now, we could say it's simple. And that is, he picked his head up, he put his knife down. Okay, I'm not saying that as an absolute, just to give an example of now he stopped. So now he looks back at his work, and he realizes, oh, not good. So it depends on what kind of not good we're talking about. So if his work is so shabby that the mitzvah of Mila has not been performed, meaning that there are flaps of skin now that are over the Atara that's so significant that the mitzvah of Mila has not been accomplished, so now he has to go back and he has to do it again. And despite the fact that today is Shabbos and the only thing that is overriding the Shabbos is the mitzvah of Mila, yeah, he hasn't yet finished the mitzvah of Mila. And therefore he goes back and does it again. However, if let's say what's left over are just a little bit, and this is just an issue of touch-up and appearance, so then the Braisa says, ein ochozer, then he cannot go back. Why? So again, I'm saying the Gemara over like Rashi, very simple. And that is that the mitzvah of Mila has been performed, albeit that it is not the most, it's not a neat job, and there are some flaps that are left over. Halachically, they're not significant. And so therefore, he does not have the right to go back and to cut it off because it's Shabbos. And so now all he's doing is making a chabur on Shabbos, and there is no mitzvah of Mila. That is the Braisa, and to which the Gemara says, that is what our Mishnah is making reference to. When the Mishnah says, Kol Tzarchei Mila, it comes to include even this case as well. When the Mo'el is not Paresh, so then he can go over his work and even do touch-ups. Once the Mo'el is Paresh, so the only way he can go back and cut more is only if it sits in Hama'akvin, not if it sits in She'in Ma'akvin. The way I presented the Gemara is like Rashi. If you want more discussion on this, see the Rambam in Hilchos Mila and Perek Beis, where the Rambam does not seem to present the Gemara like Rashi, in much discussion about the Rambam's presentation of our Gemara. But anyway, I presented this morning like Rashi, and now the Gemara is going to do the following. And that is this idea, that once you walk away, you can't go back for things that are insignificant. This idea, where else does it express itself in Halacha? And that's going to be a good part of our discussion now in the Gemara. Man tana pirish eino chozer. This idea that you stepped away and now you can't go back for insignificant, for halachically insignificant areas. So, who subscribes to this? And the Gemara now is going to give three tries to find a Tana who subscribes to this viewpoint. Number one, Amar Rav Avarchan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rav Yochanan Broki, he did Tanya. So the Gemara first tries to align it with the Shita of Yochanan. Sorry. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. This should sound familiar to us. We've done this before. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Arba Sasha Chalios b'Shabbos Mavshir HaPesach HaChazad of Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. V'chachamim Omri Mavshitin Skulo. We go back to our scenario where the 14th day of Nisan falls out on a Shabbos. And now you shechted your Karban Pesach, which we learned earlier this morning. Obviously, you have a Heter Gomer to shecht it. You have a Heter Gomer, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to shecht it on today. And on top of that, also, you're going to have to be extracting the Imurim from this Karban. The Imurim are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. And so in order to get to the Imurim, in order to get to the insides of the animal, you're going to have to flay the animal. The animal's flaying starts with the legs and heads towards the head. And you're going to be flaying it where you're going to be stripping it down from its legs over its torso in order to expose the inside of its stomach. And now you're going to be taking out the imurim. You're going to be taking out the insides of the stomach in order to burn on the mizbeach. Can you continue now flaying the animal? Now remember, it's Shabbos, and of course, taking off the hide of the animal would be a malacha. So is there an allowance to finish it off? You had heter gummer to do so up until the chest, but now that you got to the chest, can you go ahead and finish? And this is exactly the debate between the Tanaim. Rabbi Shmuel says you cannot finish it, and the Chachamim say you can finish it. And by the way, Rashi over here goes through at length the idea that this is a case of Porish, meaning that you stopped at the chest in order to get out the Imurim, and now the question is to continue. So this is Rashi spends some time establishing that this is a case of Parish. But anyway, so the Gemara suggests now we have it. We have a Tana who says that once you stop, you cannot go back. Flaying the rest of the animal is I don't want to say insignificant, but it's not necessary. Meaning, what would be the purpose of flaying the rest of the animal? You are going to end up roasting it, but that's only tonight. Meaning, on the Seder night, you're going to be roasting it. You're not roasting it on Shabbos itself. And so there really is no point to removing the rest of the hide, and so good. So this is now an example of Poresh Eino Chozer. The Gemara says, I don't know. Mimai, Ad Kan Lo Kama Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, Asu Mishum Dolabina, Zeke Livan Veyu. In the case of the Karban Pesach, there's no idea of Zeke Livan Veyu, there's no Hidr Mitzvah. Meaning, as far as the flaying of the rest of the Karban Pesach is concerned, there's no, you're not presenting it to anybody. This is not a question of presentation. Yes, of course, it is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to shecht it. There's a mitzvah to remove the imurim. There's going to be a mitzvah later on to eat it that night. But there is no mitzvah of presentation of the Karban Pesach. So there's no hidr mitzvah vis-a-vis the Karban Pesach. The Gemara says, but when it comes to the milah, so there is an issue of hidr mitzvah. Titania, we have a brisa zekeli van veyu. The pasuk says in Parshas Beshalach, in Az Yashir, that this is my God, and I will praise him. And praise him over here, meaning that I will look beautiful in front of him. I will be pleasant in front of him with mitzvahs. Make sure that everything you do is beautiful. Your sukkah should be beautiful, so should your lulav. And shofar and your tzitzis, so should your sefer Torah. And in your sefer Torah, make sure to write it with the right intentions. Using good ink. Kumasna'a, using a good quill. Lavlar uman. And make sure you hire a sofer who's competent. Vikarcho b'shirai nayim. And when you wrap it in beautiful silks. Abishal happens to give a different drasha on the word anvehu. Anvehu have a doma lo, you should be similar to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says anvehu is a contraction of the words anivahu. So mahu chanun v'rachum afata haya chanun v'rachum. Kadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. We should be merciful as well. Anyway, what comes out over here is that the Gemara does not feel that the comparison is a good comparison. Because when it comes to the milah, so there's an aspect of hidr mitzvah by milah. Every mitzvah that you should do, it should look good. The milah, the cut, should be a good cut. And so, by the Karban Pesach, however, there's no hidr mitzvah by the Karban Pesach. Again, like I explained. Because in terms of the actual removal of the hide off the remainder of the Karban Pesach, we're not presenting it to anybody. Meaning, the mitzvahs of the Karban Pesach is the shechting of the Karban Pesach and the eating of the Karban Pesach. But there's no hidr mitzvah if I just leave the remaining part of the hide on the animal. So the Gemara continues, Ella, Amar, Rav Ashi, Hamani, Rav Yosihi. So this is now going to be round number two, a trial number two, in which we're going to try to find a Tana who subscribes to this idea of Piresh Eino Chozer. So number two is going to be the following, and that's the Shita Rav Yossi that now we learned in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Bein Shenira Ba'alo, Bein Shelo Nira Ba'alo, Mechan Alav Es HaShabbos. If I see the new moon, and it's clear, and it's also Shabbos. So the Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah say that I am now required to go and give Eidus, go to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, and give Eidus, I saw the new moon. Now is that for everybody to do? Yes. On the other hand, if it's Shabbos, and it's a really clear, and it's a really clear viewing of the moon, so now there are plenty of people who saw it. And if I live outside of the Tchum of Yerushalayim, for me, it would involve Chilul Shabbos. Now, the Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah says that for the aid to testify regarding the witnessing of the new moon, so you are Mechallel Shabbos. But over here, it's a clear viewing. So the chances are other people seen it as well, and the chances are other people are going to go. So should you go? So this is a debate between Tanaim. According to the Tanakhama, so yeah, you go. Don't rely on other people. Right, the more responsibility that's diffused amongst the group, the much less chance that the job is going to happen. So the sheet of the Chachamim is you should go. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Nira Ba'alel Ein Mechan Alav Es HaShabbos. Now Rabbi Yossi says that if it's a clear viewing of the moon, so you do not need to be Mechal Shabbos. People living proximate to Yerushalayim will go and testify about the moon, and you're not necessary. And so it's a little bit of a stretch, but the Gemara now is assuming this fits into the category of Piresh Eino Chozer. Because over here, you become, I'm sorry to say it so harshly, but you're like ancillary. Meaning, it's a clear viewing, there are other people who see it, there are other people who don't have to be Mechal Shabbos, and so for you, it's unnecessary for you to be Mechal Shabbos. So this is similar to the case of Piresh Eino Chozer. The Gemara says, I don't like the comparison. Me am I. And the Gemara says, I here also do not like the comparison. Because in the case of the witnessing of the new moon, so for you, Rabbi Yossi says, you never had a heter to begin with. Being that it was a clear viewing of the moon, and you have people in Yerushalayim who are seeing the same moon, so therefore, you simply never had a heter to begin with. When it comes to the mitzvah of milah, the moel started with the heter of the requirement to do the milah on Shabbos. So maybe once he already is engaged in the heter of doing the milah, so maybe he can go over even the tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, he can go over even the tzitzin she'in ma'akvin, even after he was parish. So the Gemara says, I don't think the comparison is so good. And here we are now in round number three. Ela amrei nardai rabbanan deplik ala de Rav Yossi did not. So the Gemara says, I know who it is. It is Rav Yossi who argues with the Chachamim, and that is of the changing of the lechem upon him. Every week in the Beis HaMikdash, the lechem upon him that was put on last Shabbos is removed. The lechem upon him that was prepared before Shabbos is going to be replacing it. And here the Mishnah gives us a description, a beautiful description of how it is replaced, how the old is taken off and how the new is put on. And the Mishnah here in Menachos, Arba Kohanim Nechnasim Shnayim Biadam Shnei Sedarim Shnayim Biadam Shnei Bezichin. You're going to have four Kohanim coming in, holding in their hands the two new columns of the lechem upon him. There are, each column is made up of six loaves, 12 in total. On top of that, two spoonfuls of the lavona. You have another four kohanim going in there empty-handed because they're the ones who are going to be taking last week's lechem upon him and last week's two spoonfuls of lavona. And the Gemara over here is extremely descriptive in terms of the people that go in are going to be standing on the north side, and the people who are going to be introducing the new bread, the people who are removing last week's bread are going to be standing on the south side facing north. And exactly how you probably are visualizing it right now, as last week's bread is sliding off, the new bread is now sliding on. And so now what you have is not a moment where the Shulchan is going to be without lechem. Mishum Shenema, the Pasuk says, Lifanai Tamid. And the Tanakhama's understanding of the Pasuk is as literal as one can imagine. And that is that there always has to be lechem on the Shulchan. Rav Yossi, Amar Afilu, Elonot, Limbe, Elamanichemav, Zeh, Hayatamid. And Rav Yossi says, no, you don't have to be so literal. Tamid just simply means constantly, all right, on a daily basis. But if there is a break between them, so that would be okay, that would be fine. And so what the Gemara now is arguing is that the Shita of the Chachamim, not Rav Yossi, says that there cannot be a break. Once there's a break, so there's a disruption. And again, it's not a perfect analogy, obviously. But in other words, by the lechem apanim, what does that mean? It means you're not going to put on the new bread if there was a disruption. It's kind of hard to imagine, but still, the idea is that according to the Chachamim, there cannot be a break, and a break is going to be significant, and it's really going to break it up. Rav Yossi obviously is not bothered by a break. But anyway, what the Gemara is suggesting now is that that could be also the author of the Braisa of the Tzitzin. Once you're Poresh, once you step away, and now what's left is only Tzitzin Shein Ma'afin, so you don't go back. Okay, so the Gemara feels that this is a fair comparison between the Shita of the Tanakama regarding the Lechem Apanim and the Braisa regarding Tzitzin Shein Ma'afin. Tana Rabbanan, we are continuing now in the Gemara, finishing up the Daf. Mahalkatin Asamila. So a Moel is expected to not only do the cut, but to finish up the cut and cut all the flaps of the foreskin that are going over. V'imlo hilkeit and ushkaris. Now, obviously, over here we're talking about significant flapping, because if you don't, so there's going to be a karis penalty. Now, the Gemara wants to clarify money. Am Rav Kahana Uman. Now, who's getting the karis penalty? Over here for failure to complete the milah. So the Gemara says, well, it's the moel. So maskel v'rapapa Uman lema luhu. Ana avdei paga the mitzvah, asron avditzu paga the mitzvah. So the moel is going to get karis. The Gemara says, wait one second. He started the mitzvah. But okay, but in other words, he'll just simply say to somebody else, you go ahead and finish the mitzvah. Now let's be clear over here. What the Gemara now is suggesting in terms of karis is not for failure to do the milah, because again, we go back to a point that we made earlier today. We're talking about an 8-day-old who's obviously not going to be held by any kind of onesh, and the moel, even though he's doing the mitzvah, his failure to do so will not result in karis for him for not doing a milah. What the Gemara is describing over here is karis vis-a-vis the chilul Shabbos that's been performed. Meaning that if the moel did the milah, his only allowance to do so on Shabbos is because there's a mitzvah milah that he needs to do. But if he did such a bad job where he didn't do the mitzvah milah, so now all he did was just simply be mechal Shabbos. And what the Gemara now is arguing is that the karis penalty is for violating the Shabbos. To which the Gemara counters and says, wait one second. He'll just simply argue, well, no, I started the mitzvah. Meaning, I shouldn't get an F for what I did. What I should receive is an incomplete. I just simply started the mitzvah with an expectation that somebody else is going to go ahead and finish the job. Okay, I understand that it doesn't sound like a powerful excuse, but nevertheless, though, it is, the argument does have legal ground. And so the Gemara says, fine. So, Ella, I'm Rapapa Gadol. So Rapapa says, okay, so let's change our understanding of the Braisa. We're talking about where he's an adult. And the Karis over here is just simply for a failure to do a milah. So the Gemara says, that's a wonderful pshat, but that's not telling me anything new. What do you mean? The Torah says that if I have an adult who does not do a milah to himself, in other words, for whatever reason, he wasn't given a milah as a baby, and he doesn't do one for himself, so the Torah goes on to say he's going to get karis. And now you're telling me that's pshat in the Braisa. Pshat in the Braisa, it's a pasuk in the Torah. So, Elam Ravashi Lolam Uman. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to our Shabbos scenario. We're going to go back to our Shabbos scenario, and we have now a mole who's ready to do the milah. And the whole milah got delayed, meaning it was supposed to be done on Shabbos. And now we're moving to the end of Shabbos. We're already into our Shal Shudus. Shabbos is now ebbing away, and the Moel says, we have time to do this milah. Now remember, the only time that it's going to be overriding the Shabbos, if it's milah bismana, it has to be on the eighth day. And so he looks around and says, we have time, and everyone's shaking their head. We don't have time. Meaning you will not have time enough to do this milah before the end of Shabbos is over. The Moel was with his confidence, and parenthetically, by the way, you need the Moel to have confidence. So the Moel with his confidence says, oh, you know what? No. I think I do have time. Despite the fact that everyone's telling him, you don't have time. And so he says he does have time. And lo and behold, they were right, he was wrong. So he's doing the Mila, he started on Shabbos, but the Mila then went into Motzei Shabbos. And so now, he started the Mila, but he didn't complete the Mila on Shabbos. And so therefore, as far as Shabbos is concerned, the only thing that happened was Chabura. He made a wound on Shabbos. He didn't do the mitzvah of Mila. So under those circumstances, now the Brisa is telling us a Chiddush. This is a tremendous Chiddush. The fact of the matter is that even though he did finally accomplish the Mila, but he didn't finish it on Shabbos itself, so therefore, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it only registers as a Chabura, and that's why he's looking at a Karis penalty. Let's do one more piece of Gemara, Metzitza. So the Mishnah says that there are three components to the Mila. There is the cutting off of the outer membrane, that's the Mila. Then there's a removal of the inner membrane, that's the Priya. And then Metzitza. And so the Metzitza is the sucking up of the blood in that area. The Gemara goes on to say, Amar Papa, Hai Umna Dolo Maitza Kanuhu V'Avrinan Lay. So Papa says that if you have a Moel who doesn't do Metzitza, so that poses a risk and a threat to the child, and on top of that, you take away his license. Avrinan Lay, you remove him from the guilt. Okay, in our modern terminology, right, strip him of his license. So the Gemara says, now, the statement to Papa, right, is obviously a strong statement, but the truth of the matter is, says the Gemara, I think we would have figured that out from the Mishnah, Pshita. So the Gemara says, look, if the Mishnah is telling us that Metzitza is so important that you're Mechal Shabbos, so you clearly, don't you see that it's a Sakana? Meaning, what's Rav Papa teaching me that I wouldn't have already figured out in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no, Mao detei mahai dam ifka pocket. So the Gemara says, no, here's what I would have thought. Look, this blood that is in the area of the Mila, so it is going to get sucked out. But however, this blood could be described in one of two ways. It could either be described as mifkad pakid or chabur mikhbar. Now, if you learn the beginning of Suvas, you are familiar with this kind of presentation of how pockets of blood may look. The Gemara describes basically this as, in terms of the dam besulim of a woman. The idea is as follows. Vis-a-vis Shabbos. If, let's say, the blood is superficial blood coagulated on the surface area, and it's just simply extracted. So that is not a violation of Shabbos. It would be tantamount to the popping of a pimple, which we learned earlier in our Masechta, is not a violation of Shabbos. So if the blood is viewed in that manner, it was described in the Gemara as Mifkat Pukid, so it's not a violation of Shabbos. On the other hand, if it is not superficial blood, but it's just regular circulating blood that you're squeezing out, so that's considered Chabur Mikbar, and that is a violation of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, had it not been for a papa, we could have advanced the following pshat in the Mishnah. And that is that the blood in that area is mifkat pocket. So it's not a violation of Shabbos. Meaning, yes, the Mishnah describes it to be done, but it's not a violation of Shabbos. And you could have made the argument that if it's not a violation of Shabbos, it's not going to be a referendum of whether it's a sakana or not a sakana. So what Rav Papa is telling us is that's not the right way to understand the Mishnah. Kamash malan chabur mechbar vidum yadi spanus v'kamon my spanus v'kamon kiloavit sakanuhu af hachanami kiloavit sakanuhu. And what Rav Papa is telling us is that the right way to understand the Mishnah is that the blood in that area is not superficial blood, but rather it is circulating blood that you are extracting through force and pressure, through suction. And if you do, and it's so important to do so that you're going to be violating the Shabbos because it would pose a sakana if you don't do it. And so therefore, Rav Papa is telling us that's the right way to understand the Mishnah. There could have been an alternative way to understand the Mishnah, but don't understand it that way. And so therefore, it really is a referendum on the idea that if failure to do so, it proposes a sakana, it poses a risk to the baby. And I'll just mention briefly over here that yes, it is a bit of a discussion. In other words, from the Gemara, it sounds pretty clear that the purpose of Metzitza is therapeutic. And it's not necessarily part and parcel of the mitzvah of Mila. It's just simply therapy that was advanced at their time based on their knowledge of what was dangerous and what was not dangerous. And if, let's say, that knowledge base changes, so is the Metzitza going to be a necessary part of the Mila? Or is it just for the purposes of Sakana? And if the information tells us that doing the Metzitza is just the opposite effect, that it poses a Sakana, is that going to change? So, as you can imagine, that is a significant controversy and much discussed, and certainly way out of the purview of the Daf Yomi. And but certainly it is. This is the basis of the discussion right over here, because our Gemara certainly seems to indicate that the purpose of Mitzitza is for the purposes of Sakana. And you will speak to your local Rav in terms of what he's advocating regarding Mitzitza. That's it. That's all we're getting in the Gemara in terms of the topic of Mitzitza. And now we get to recap our daf. We start off this morning with three topics on the Amud Aleph. One is that when you cut the Mila off the baby and their Saras on that Makam Mila. So, aside from yesterday's discussion of Ese Dochelo Sase and the Kavachomer, that Mila is more significant than Saras. At least we could try to argue that. But on top of that, it's also a Davar Sheina Miskaven. And since it's a Davar Sheina Miskaven, so shouldn't it be Mutter, at least according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? Answer to that question, it's a Psik Resha. Second discussion on the Amud Aleph is a Mila Shelo Bizmana. If the Mila is not done on the eighth day, but any day subsequent, so it's not going to be over on Shabbos. And Yantav, the Gemara gave us four sources for that halacha. Third discussion on the Amud Aleph is going to be the halacha. Machshire Mila, Rabbi Elazar says it's Doche Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva says it's not Doche Shabbos. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, not only by Mila, by Karban Pesach as well. The Gemara explained why Rabbi Yehuda Amarav had to say both. Finally, second half of today's daf, and that is we get more into the details of Mila itself. The Mila that's done on Shabbos, every aspect of the Mila is done on Shabbos. Mila, Priya, Mitzitza, the three steps of a Mila. Also, the putting on of bandages and the putting on of any kind of powders, how to prepare the powders, how to prepare certain tonics that are put on the area as well, how to prepare bandages. So the Mishnah says all this is to be done on Shabbos. Tosos says, we went over the Tosos, that the baby post-Mila is a choloshi yeshbo sakana, and still, lefi shitas tosfos, still, if there is a possibility to mitigate Isser, one should mitigate Isser. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, we went through this idea that the Mishnah says kol sarche Mila. What is that coming to include? It's coming to include that you can touch up the job, provided that you are still osik b'mila. Once your parish, once the moel removes himself from the Mila, so at that point in time on Shabbos, so there can, if there are significant flaps of skin, so obviously he goes back and he cuts that and he excises that. However, if they're insignificant in your parish, so then you don't go back. Rashi explains that this price over here is talking about on Shabbos itself during the week. According to Rashi, obviously you do go back and you do touch up. Again, I just made mention. The Rambam does not seem to present the Gemara this way, but anyway, but it's the simplest way to read the Gemara, and it's Rashi. The discussion of the Gemara in the Amud Beis is this idea of Parish Eino Chozer. Can we find another Tana in Shas that lines up with this position? The Gemara went three rounds to try to do that. The Gemara seems to be satisfied at that third round. Okay. Next discussion is that we had a Braisa that talks about if you do the Mila on Shabbos, good, and if not, you're going to be subject to the Kari's penalty. What was that Braisa describing? So the Gemara explained that the Braisa was describing where it was at the end of Shabbos. The Moel thought he had enough time. Everyone was warning him he didn't have enough time, and he did the Mila, partly on Shabbos, partly Motzei Shabbos. So for that, he violated Shabbos because he did not complete the Mila on Shabbos itself. And the last topic that we covered today was Mitzitza. The Gemara says that a Moel who does not do Mitzitza, so he is endangering the baby, and you remove his license. And why is Rav Papa saying that when the Mishnah is telling us that Mitzitza is going to be overriding Shabbos? So it's pretty obvious that you can do that. And the Gemara says because there could have been another way to learn the Mishnah, and Rav Papa is telling us don't learn the Mishnah the other way. This is the correct way to understand the Mishnah. It poses a threat to the baby if you don't do Mitzitza.